It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game on News Talk 1400. You can also hear our show online at newstalk1400.net and podcasts available at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our News Talk 1400 studios just outside the city limits of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Monday, September 12th, 2022. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. We have a full docket ahead on The Game. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by one of the assistant coaches for the Sioux High football team. Matt Johnson will be joining us around at 6:30, and then at 6:45, co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports will be joining us to talk about everything going on in the Metro Detroit sports region, and along with the roundtable with yours truly. But we will start with our first guest, the head coach of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, Doug LaPrade, joining us once again on The Game. Doug, always great to have you on The Game. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm great, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Well, Doug, your season is already underway as the Sioux Eagles had a pair of road games this past weekend. The Eagles got off to a great start on Friday and defeated their rival, the Sioux Thunderbirds, 4-1 at the John Rhodes Community Center. And then the Eagles would travel to Blind River on Saturday and fall to the Blind River Beavers by the score of 4-1. Doug, just give us your impressions on opening weekend for the Sioux Eagles. Certainly great not to have 20 straight road games coming up like you did last year. You start off 1-1 on the road. What were your thoughts on how the Eagles did this weekend?
Well, you're right about the road. I mean, last year was obviously an interesting and different a time in our world, and yep, with COVID and whatnot. But, you know, we had to spend the first 3 months basically on the road. Even our home games were on the road. So, you know, to be able to play, you know, start on the road. We went to Thunder Bay and had some exhibition games with Cam River, and those went pretty well, and kind of got a little bit of an idea of what I have in the locker room. And, you know, the Friday night was a great effort by us, and Saturday was, you know, it wasn't a bad game. I mean, we just, you know, we missed opportunities, and, you know, Blind River's well coached, and they have a good game plan against us, and they've got some really good players. They've got some good team speed. And their hockey arena is a different arena. It's got very big in zones and a very small mid zone, and, yep, and they know how to play in that facility. So for us, with a lot of new guys coming into junior hockey, it was a little bit of an eye opener, and we'll take that experience, even though it was a loss. I think we were in the game through the middle of the third period, and we gave up a third goal and then an empty net goal. So I think it could have went either way, but I think at the end of the day, Blind River deserved that win, and we'll learn from what we did in that game.
Doug, we talked to owner and general manager Bruno Braganola a few weeks ago as the exhibition season began, just talking about preparations for this season. And again, like you mentioned, last year, having to play majority of your games, all your games on the road until, I believe, November. Just from a coaching perspective, coming into this season, things a little more back to normal, certainly had to help you and your coaching staff in preparation for this season.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we're excited to be able to play at home this weekend and have some home games through the first half of the season. You know, we haven't been able to practice in the Polar. The city has decided not to put the ice in for us over the years. So, you know, we've been at the Big Bear playing on the practicing on the Olympic ice.
Right.
You know, that's hurting us. That's hurting us a little bit as far as, you know, practicing on a really big ice surface and then heading to the Polar. And, you know, it's so much smaller than an Olympic ice surface. That happened to us in Thunder Bay at the very beginning of our series, and it happened to us in Blind River, where, you know, we can't play in a regular size rink. We're playing in an Olympic, and you know, hopefully the city can get the ice in earlier as years come forward, and we can get ready for the season. But for now, we're going to hopefully, the ice is supposed to be in this Friday, and that's what we're counting on. So hopefully we can get that done and get off to a good start.
Doug LaPrade joining us on the game, head coach of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. And Doug, just looking at your roster and some of your strengths coming into this season, you return several forwards, Chase Tolaire, mm-hmm. Alex Friend, Jack Mortson, among others, Brian Fittis, Zach Briskey. You return several defensemen as well, Isaiah Gagerman, Colby Fox, Chris Clark, and of course, returning your goaltender, Logan Raphael. Probably didn't mention all the players that you're returning. From your perspective, what would you say are some of your strengths of your team this year, and what are some of the things maybe that you need these newer players to step up to improve?
Junior hockey is a different level, and it's fast, and it's physical, and a lot of guys that we have coming in that aren't veterans come from either AAA teams or high school teams, and it's just not it's not what they're used to. So they're learning as they go, and we'll have to be patient for a little bit here. And we're the only team in the league that at this point doesn't have OHL draft picks.
Right.
Pretty much every other team in the league has OHL draft picks that they can bring in, and that haven't quite made their OHL draft team. So those kids are good. Like Wine River had three the other night, and they're very, very good players. They're 16, 17-year-old kids with a lot of speed and a lot of skill. And Blind River's goalie was an OHL draft pick. So, we're battling a little bit of a culture shock, if you will. And also, some of these teams have very, very good, talented players. So, we're working on it. We're working on our roster. Our goal is obviously always to be ready by the playoffs. So whether we win the division or finish whatever we do in the division, that's not my concern. My concern is to be able to be ready and going 100% at playoff time. And so that's our goal, and that's our focus.
Doug, let's talk about your coaching staff, Fedor Fedorov, back again as one of your assistant coaches. How important, from your perspective, has it been to have him, helping you out and helping the Eagles out? He's an animated guy and certainly has a wealth of hockey experience. Tell us about working with him, and who are some of the other people helping you out in the coaching staff this season?
Well, it's just really Fedor and I, and Fed is fantastic. And, I kind of liken the example to like the movie Moneyball, where Billy Beane kind of takes on a new role or a new philosophy on something different. And, Fed is got a philosophy on skills and getting better passing, shooting, skating. And, for me, I've never really done a lot of that. I've done it enough, but we're really taking the philosophy that a lot of our practice time is working on individual skills and getting better, getting faster, get shooting the puck better, making decisions better, a lot of decision-making drills. Fed's been fantastic. He's been invaluable on that. So we are working that way. And then system-wise, we're going forward with what we've done in the last 4 or 5 years. This is my fifth year. So, system-wise, we've tweaked things along the way, but, I believe in the process, and I believe in that, we may struggle a little bit at the beginning of the year, but, again, back to what I said earlier, when playoffs come, we're going to be going 100% on all cylinders. So that's our goal.
And Doug, that brings me to my next question. I probably asked you this a couple times over the years. This year, fifth season in the league. Hard to believe that you've been around the Sioux Eagles for that long. How have you changed some of your coaching strategies and philosophies? Or do you continue to do that each year, depending on the group of kids that you have? Because, junior hockey, it's different than college hockey and a lot of other levels. Have you continuously changed some of the things that you've been doing as head coach?
You got to change all the time, Scott. Like, you got to adapt. You got to make sure that you coach your team based on your personnel. So if you've got a faster team, you can work on certain things with that speed. If you've got a slower team, you can work on other things. We had last season, we had a really fast team, and you know that helped us in a lot of times, and it hurt us a little bit. So we went a little bit bigger this year. We wanted to have a little bit of the ability to protect ourselves and each other, and so we did that. And with that comes a little bit of a different game plan, if you will. That being said, not much of a difference. I mean, my philosophy is pretty much the same. I learned from Frank Anzalone and Jeff Jackson and Jim Rock and Dave Siciliano back in Thunder Bay in my hometown. And I've tried to put all those things into the pot and stir it up and come up with the best of all of it. So, every single one of those guys I learned from, have an impact a hand in what we do as a coach right now here with the Sioux Eagles.
Doug LaPrade joining us on the game, head coach of the Sioux Eagles. Doug, a couple more questions before we let you go. You're talking about getting on the ice at Puller Stadium on Friday. Well, we'll need to get the ice on because you have your home opener Friday night against Elliott Lake at Puller Stadium, a 7:30 faceoff. We'll have that game right here on News Talk 1400, and then follow that up with another home game Saturday against French River at 7 o'clock. Looking at this league, it's very early and there's lots of moving parts, but one thing I've noticed as a broadcaster in this league, Doug, you can never take a night off depending on who you play, or you can't overlook anyone. Are you excited to be back at the Puller, and certainly you want to be at the Puller to practice on Friday? It's going to be a lot of fun playing hockey in September back home. It's been a few years.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, the Puller's a world-class rink. I mean, there aren't a lot of rinks in North America that equal what the Puller brings as far as atmosphere and whatnot. So I mean, you know, I've been in a lot of rinks and a lot of time with a lot of countries, and this rink is bottom line one of the true gems of hockey and literally in North America. Like, you know, the people in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, if they don't understand how much of a gem this rink is, they're missing out. It's a phenomenal facility, and you know, we're hoping that the city gets that ice set and ready to roll. And I know the ice is in now; they're tweaking it and making sure it's ready for Friday night. So, we're looking forward to moving back. We've been at the Big Bear for almost a month.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to moving into the Puller and getting back to our home ice and our locker room, and that's going to be exciting for us for Friday night.
Well, Doug, as always, appreciate you joining us on the game. We'll certainly talk to you this weekend at Puller Stadium. Again, the Sioux Eagles will open up their home portion of the schedule this Friday and Saturday night at Puller Stadium. Friday night against Elliott Lake at 7:30. Saturday, French River at 7. We'll have both games right here on News Talk 1400. Doug, have a great rest of your night. Thanks for joining us on the game, and we'll talk to you on Friday night, sir.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having me on.
Anytime. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll cover more local sports, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to SiouxTribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
6:16 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by one of the assistant coaches for the undefeated Sioux High Blue Devil football team, and good friend Matt Johnson will be joining us here around 6:30. But we have more local sports to cover, and we'll talk more about this game with Matt coming up here at the bottom of the hour. The Sioux High Blue Devil football team, 3-0 on the season, as they earned an impressive 35-8 win at home Friday night over Sheboygan. River Rickingham had four touchdowns on the night. He had 123 yards on the ground, including an 80-yard scamper in the first half as the Blue Devils cruised. The game was close going into the second half, but we've seen the Blue Devils all season long make some great adjustments at halftime, and well, they're 3-0, and that's exactly where they want to be. Sioux High will be at home this weekend taking on Superior Heights out of Sioux, Ontario at 3 o'clock. We'll have that game over on 1230 WSOO, starting with the kickoff show around 2:35. Another 3-0 team in the area. This one a bit of a surprise. St. Ignace in 11-man football, 3-0, as they knocked off Frankfurt on the road Friday night in convincing fashion by the score of 28-0. Saints have a big game at home Friday night as they take on undefeated Gladstone. That one should be very good. In a game you heard over on our sister station, Country 105, in the EUP Game of the Week with Matt Pocket Pickford, they got it going early, and they ended the game early as well. Pickford knocks off Brimley by the score of 48-14. Now, that game was called just one play into the fourth quarter as the Bays had limited players available to play, and then they had an injury which left them with just 10 players left in the game. And that was it. The referees called that one off as Pickford, they improve to 3-0 on the season, while Brimley falls to 1-2. Braden Althoff, he had a very big game for Pickford, ran for 217 yards on 12 carries and scored 5 touchdowns, while Seth Miller, he had 117 yards on the ground for Pickford and 1 touchdown. Pickford 3-0 on the season. They will travel to Rudyard on Friday night. That'll be our next EUP Game of the Week over on Country 105 with Matt Pocket. Matt will have the pregame show around 6:45. Brimley now 1-2 on the season. They will host Superior Central this upcoming Friday. Good game in Newberry between the Newberry Indians and Rudyard Bulldogs. Newberry jumped out to a big lead and ended up hanging on for a 38-31 win over the Rudyard Bulldogs. Bulldogs trailed 20-3 late in the second quarter. They came back. They were able to cut the lead to 7, but would end up falling, as I mentioned, by the score of 38-31. For Newberry, Gavin Nutkins, he threw for 204 yards and 3 scores on 6 of 10 passing, while Matt Rahilly, he led the Indians on the ground with 132 yards and 2 touchdowns just on 6 carries. Rahilly also led the Indians receiving-wise, 163 yards and 2 scores, while Marco Yarez led the Indians in carries. He had 22 carries for 71 yards on the ground. Cam Peterson led the Bulldogs in passing, 235 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Peterson was 15 of 17 passing. Peterson also led the Bulldogs in rushing, 145 yards and a touchdown, while Aiden Bickle, he had 85 yards on 15 carries. Newberry now 2-1 on the season. They will host Cedarville Detour on Friday night. Well, Rudyard, they are now 1-2. They will host Pickford in a big game on Friday. Cedarville Detour, 3-0 on the season as they went to Bear Lake and cruised to a 52-8 win, moving to 3-0 on the season. Kaysen Smith, he finished the game with 160 yards passing with just 4 completions. Those are pretty good numbers, but all 4 were for touchdowns. So big numbers for Kaysen Smith. Aiden Andres, he led the rushing attack for the Cedarville Detour squad, 102 yards and a touchdown on just 7 carries. Islanders, they will be at Newberry on Friday night. Engadine, the only team not playing this past week in high school football. The Eagles are 0-2. They will host Burr Oak on Friday. We talked about Superior Heights taking on Sioux High this Saturday. Well, Superior Heights would fall in their game against Cora on Saturday by the score of 46-6 for the Colts. Cole Barbo had a pair of touchdowns on the ground and finished with 136 yards rushing on just 8 carries. He ran for touchdowns of 54 and 62 yards, respectively, as the Colts had no trouble with Cora. Sioux High Volleyball, they were in action this weekend in Petoskey as part of the Petoskey Invitational. The Blue Devils would split with Charlevoix 1 set apiece. They would also drop 2 sets to St. John's before winning against Pelston in 2 sets. And the Sioux would drop its final match of the day to Traverse City St. Francis 2-0. Claire Erickson led the Blue Devils in kills on the day with 28, while Laura Innerebner added 21, and Mackenzie Bell chipped in with 14. In the assist column, Kennedy Hagen, she tallied 70 assists, while Lucy Husky led the team in digs with 26, and Bell and Izzy DeWilt had 14 each for the Sioux High Blue Devils. Sioux Indians, Midget AAA squad in action this weekend as they took part in a showcase tournament, and they would fall in 3 games to the Oakland Junior Grizzlies, Little Caesars, rather, and Chicago Mission, all top 10 teams this season. The Sioux Indians' next action will be at home this weekend as they will take on the Oakland Junior Grizzlies Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m., both those games at the Taffy Able Arena. The Sioux Greyhounds, they continue their Ontario Hockey League exhibition play over this past weekend. They would fall at Saginaw 9-3 and then would win at home on Saturday against the Spirit by the score of 3-1. In Saturday's game, Bryce McConnell-Barker scored the game-winning goal in the second period, while the Hounds also got goals from Marco Mignosa and Jordan Diantino. Charlie Schinkel made 26 saves for the Sioux Greyhounds in net. Hounds are off until Friday, September 23rd, when they will travel to Sudbury. This will be their final exhibition game of the season before they start their regular season at home on Friday, September 30th against North Bay. And you can hear all Sioux Greyhound games home and away over on our sister station at Rock 101. We talked with head coach Doug LaPrade earlier about the Sioux Eagles. The Sioux Eagles would knock off the Sioux Thunderbirds on Friday on the road by the score of 4-1, as Chase Dallaire would get the game-winning goal for the Sioux Eagles in that one. Logan Raphael would pick up the win for the Eagles in net. And then the Eagles would fall to Blind River by the score of 4-1, as the Sioux Eagles now 1-1 on the season. And again, they will be at home this weekend to take on Elliott Lake Friday night. and French River on Saturday, 7:30 face-off Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday. You can hear both those games right here on News Talk 1400. Sioux Thunderbirds rebounded on Saturday as they got a pair of goals from Darren Kapp as they would knock off Elliott Lake by the score of 4-2. So the Sioux Thunderbirds also 1-1 on the season. They will be at Elliott Lake on Tuesday, tomorrow night, and then host French River on Friday. Laker volleyball in action this weekend. They would fall to Saginaw Valley State on Friday by 3-0 count. Emily McDaniel and Mariana Velasquez were able to tally 11 kills to lead Lakers offensively, while Emily Kalinowski, she earned 31 assists, and Allie Lasley led all players with 14 digs. Lake State would go on the road Saturday and fall to Purdue Northwest by 3-1 count. Emily McDaniel, she led the way offensively, leading all players with 16 kills, while Mariana Velasquez was not too far behind with 12 kills, 9 digs, and 3 service aces. Sydney Brindley earned 6 service aces for the Lakers on Saturday, while Emily Kalinowski would have another impressive outing with 38 assists, 18 digs, a double-double, leading all players in both categories. Laker volleyball will return to action on the road Friday when they will travel to Marquette to take on Northern Michigan, that one at 7 o'clock. They will also travel to Houghton on Saturday to take on a very good Michigan Tech squad at 2 p.m. before traveling home to face Ferris State on Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. And finally, the Laker men's and women's cross-country team finished 4th and 5th at the Ray Heisling Bulldog Invitational hosted by Ferris State on Saturday. Reese Camp, he led the way for the Lakers in the men's 8,000-meter race, finishing 17th with a time of 28 minutes, 56.54 seconds. Ryan O'Neill just behind him at 19th place, while Aaron Nashishel and Ethan Nashishel would finish 26th and 27th place for the Lakers. For the women, Sydney Kapuscinski was the top finisher in the 5,000-meter race, placing 34th with a time of 22 minutes, 9.84 seconds. Kate Baker and Olivia Stevens would finish consecutive placements of 46th and 47th, while Gwen Phillips and Kara Mosier, they would finish not too far behind them at 55th and 57th. Laker cross country will return to action on October 8th when they will travel to Wisconsin for the Lucien Rosa Invitational hosted by Wisconsin Parkside. And that is your local sports update, but we are not done with the local sports. We will talk more about the Sioux High Blue Devils football game against Sheboygan and their 3-0 start to the season with one of our favorite guests, Matt Johnson, one of the assistant coaches for the Sioux High Blue Devils, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. With 9 locations to serve you, they're everywhere you need them to be. Account options such as checking, savings, and retirement accounts. Apply online for personal, home, and business loans. Enjoy conveniences like online banking, CSB Loan Pay Express, instant issue debit cards, mobile wallet, and remote deposit capture. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want in today's fast-paced world. Visit one of their 9 locations, see their helpful smiling faces, and get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307, serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
We'll be right back.
Reed Metals in Tafter is your honest metal recycling business. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals buys heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims and motors, copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, sheet iron, and many more types of metals. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for scrap vehicles, and they also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit ReedMetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
6:30 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us now, one of the assistant coaches of the undefeated Sioux High Blue Devil football team, and also one of the hosts of one of our newest shows on the Game Entertainment and Media platform, Full Court Press, covering high school boys basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, which will return here in a couple months, and good friend Matt Johnson joining us once again on the game. Matt, as always, appreciate you taking time out, especially tonight at a very late notice, for joining us. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, Scott. I usually try to join you in person, but we have a different schedule today because of we have a game on Saturday, so I'm calling in.
Well, we're looking forward to having you in person sometime soon, Matt, but the old school phone always works well. And we wanted to get you on to talk about the Sioux High Blue Devil football team, 3-0 on the season as the Blue Devils knock off one of their rivals, Sheboygan, on Friday night, 35-8. Just talk about that game, Matt. Certainly, the Blue Devils maybe off to a slow start by their standards, but really picked it up in the second half. You got a lot of rushing yards and, defense played well. Just overall, your thoughts on Friday night's game against Sheboygan?
Yeah, it was kind of an odd game how it played out. In the first half, we were up 14-8 at the half. We really had only run 10 plays.
Right.
And up until the minute to go in the first half, we had only run 5 plays. But what happened was we had 2 drives that were 1-play touchdowns. We ran a buck sweep and twice, and then they were touchdowns. And then Sheboygan, had longer drives, so the time of possession was like 21 minutes to 3 minutes. I mean, we hardly had run any plays.
Right.
But our defense was really solid, and, they were able to get some first downs and things, but really in the game, they only scored 8 points. In the second half, we continued to have that success in the running game. They weren't able to score again, and we were able to hold on. But just, you don't normally see a game like that where it's such a lopsided time of possession. And usually, and I have to say this, I've never seen a game where the time of possession was that lopsided and we were winning.
Right. Yeah, it was certainly a statistical anomaly when it came to the time of possession, Matt. And just looking at the season overall, you start off in Escanaba, and looking at the schedule and, some of the teams you play, and likely having to finish 7-2, maybe 6-3, but we can talk about that later. You need to get that big win at Escanaba, and it was, a similar game where it was a close game at half, and the Blue Devils were able to win 46-19, and then you came home against Grayling, maybe not the best performance the Blue Devils have had at times, but you get the win 16-7. Certainly, you wanted a 3-0 start, and you got it. What's been some of the keys to the Blue Devils' early success?
Well, that first game, we just really did a really nice job, especially on the ground. We blocked it really well in Escanaba, and our young backs, we had our line coming back, and that's what I coach. I coach the offensive line and
yep.
Work predominantly in the running game, and work with Coach Menard and Coach Brad Boven on the offensive side, and Coach Campbell works defense with Brendan Kreiderman. And we, went into that Grayling game, you know, last year they beat us and it was real close. They beat us 36-32. And, you know, there's two things to this. You know, Coach Menard calls the plays, and we had really worked hard and had a, and offensively had had a real good game against Grayling last year. Like, it was probably our best game of the year, but we lost. So there was the part of you that does the challenge of, like, game prep and that part of it that was proud of the output and the effort, but then kind of bummed that we lost. This year, we kind of had a game that was kind of, you know, it was not perfect to say the least, crappy at times even, as far as, you know, our first half was awful on offense, but we won the game. So
yeah,
it was the opposite, and, you know, and Coach had said, I'd rather win ugly than lose and look pretty. And that's certainly the case. And, you know, this Sheboygan game that we just talked about, you know, so the key drivers in all these things, we've hardly given up, you know, we're hardly giving up any points in these games. When you're averaging between one and two touchdowns, given, if you can hold the other team to under 14 points, and if you look at our average, that's, you know, that's like where we've been. If you hold them to under that, you know, you have a very good chance. Then offensively, we have this line that has, they put a lot of time in, right? Not just the linemen, but all of them do as well. They work hard to develop and develop strength, and it's really an advantage. It's really an advantage. And that, if you want to know, like, what the difference is, Ben, I just think the kids have worked really hard and developed strength, and that's an advantage over the opponents.
Matt Johnson joining us on the game, one of the assistant coaches for the Sioux High Blue Devil football team. And Matt, you mentioned, you know, you take care of the offensive line. You know, we don't talk about the offensive line a lot in the score recaps or many times even during the broadcast. Who are some of the guys that are working hard that have improved this offensive line for the Sioux High Blue Devils this season?
Okay, so John Burke plays right tackle for us.
He's good.
It's kind of like our ace tackle. And, you know, he's going, he has a scholarship to play at Central Michigan.
Wow.
So, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys listening to Gordy's gym. And he's just very dedicated to football. He's also, on top of being, you know, having strength and size, he understands the game. And, you know, on the field, he's calling out blocks and things. Like, you get up to the line of scrimmage, you have a defense lined up in something different than you practiced against. You have about 4 seconds to figure out how you're going to block.
Right.
And he usually makes those calls. Adam Horrigan lines up next to him as a guard. He's probably the strongest kid on the team. And on our, you know, I don't know how in the weeds we want to get here, but, like, in our offense, you need a guard who pulls. You know, we do a lot of pulling guards, and they have to kick out to defensive end. And I just think he's the best in Northern Michigan at kicking, at kickout blocks. You know, he's just strong as can be. And he just, I mean, if he hit you, you'd think a truck hit you.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so on the other side, we have Evan Arbick is the tackle on the left side. And Evan is a junior. And, you know, he's a big, strong kid, too. And he's learning and getting better every single week, that's for sure. He's one of those things where he was up with us last year, and he kind of got to learn, like, this is how we do things.
Yep.
And we've done that with guys, and we're doing it with guys now, where you move a guy up. And my old thing used to be, you know, as coaching in right yard, you wouldn't move a kid up if he wasn't going to play. you know, because you didn't have, you need, you just keep in the JVs. Well, we move kids up and they don't always play a lot early, but they really develop in that time. And he was one of those. Chris Kiefer is our guard on the left side. He's the best at the, sorry, it's pulling and leading through the hole. Very athletic kid. You know, he, if you wanted to, he could play a lot of spots. He could play wing. He could play tight end. He could play wing. I mean, he could play a lot. But in our offense, it's so essential that, that guard. And he's one of the, he's probably one of the more serious kids. He can run. He really can. I mean, he's a kid who, like, wants to be like an Army Ranger, will be, nice. Or Navy SEAL or something. And James Smith is our center, and he's, you know, strong as, he's strong as can be too, and has had a very good start to his season. You know, and then we use a couple of different tight ends. We have the twins, John and Joey Gravel, that line up the tight end spot, and we use a little bit of Caden Lujan there as well.
Matt Johnson joining us on the game, one of the assistant coaches of the Sioux High Blue Devil football team. And Matt, a couple more questions before we let you go. 3-0 on the season. You take on Superior Heights out of Sioux, Ontario this Saturday at Van Sitters Field. And, you know, looking at your schedule, obviously you're not overlooking anybody, including Superior Heights. You still have to travel to Ogama Heights as well. Games against Kingsley, Traverse City Central, Petoskey, and Benzie Central. You know, we saw what happened with the playoff math last year. 6-3 wasn't good enough. Is 6-3 good enough with this schedule, or are you guys focused on just winning each week and going 9-0?
Well, before I answer that, I want to say, so kick myself, too many concussions. I forget things sometimes. I shouldn't make that joke in the football.
No, anyway. Not anymore. Yeah.
I wanted to mention our wing, George Bowman, who hadn't played football, but this week's a hockey kid. And he just showed up one day in the end of summer, and I was like, what the heck? We have this kid? Like, I mean, I was like, you don't just have big, strong kids showing up all the time. We're all that kid.
Right.
And he was so essential to our win. Even John Gravel on the edge played really well last week. But anyway, as far as for the goal, well, I'm not going to make news here, and that's for, you know, Coach Menard can, if he wants to do a Namath style guarantee, he can, but I'm not going to.
Right.
You know, we certainly want to make the playoffs. And but I know this, the goal, you know, it's like whether or not we achieve the goal, I don't know, but we're trying to win every game and putting in every effort to win every game. Do we think that, you know, whenever we play, do we think that we can win? Yeah. Heck, you know, like, I mean, we put in the time. Guys put in the time all year. We put in the time during the week, the best preparation we can. We turn over every rock, looking for every advantage. So do we think we can win each time? Absolutely, we do. There hasn't been a goal like that set where it's just flat out. But I just think we expect to win every week, and how that plays out, you know, maybe do we run out of time some week? Well, it's possible, but we're trying as heck, trying like heck to avoid that.
Well, Matt, we'll certainly talk more about this on Coach's Corner on Saturday morning as well. The Sioux High Blue Devils, again, taking on Superior Heights at the A.J. Van Sitters Field this Saturday, 3 o'clock. We'll have that game and Coach's Corner over on 1230 WSOO. Matt, as always, appreciate you taking time out and joining us on the game, and we'll talk to you on Saturday at Coach's Corner and at the A.J. Van Sitters Field. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Yeah. So tonight I'm going to be holding out for a hero here. I need Devontae Williams to come through for me and save me from fantasy hell.
Yes.
All right, Scott. We'll see you Saturday.
All right. Sounds good. That was Matt Johnson joining us on the game. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to SioUxTribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent auto owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux. You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
6:47 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. I want to thank our guest tonight, Matt Johnson, one of the assistant coaches for the Sioux High Blue Devil football team and the head coach of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, Doug LaPrade. Joining us now and for the rest of the show, co-host of the game here on News Talk 1400 and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports from last night, which you can find on Butch's website. Just go to simplybutch2, that's too.podomatic.com. You can also find Butch on Sports on Facebook. Just type in Butch on Sports, or you can find all broadcasts of Butch on Sports on our podcast page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, as Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports region and sports across the country and around the world. Butch, how you doing on this Monday night, my friend?
Oh, well, it's kind of breezy here in the southeastern Michigan there. We can use a break here, but still rain is on its way. So, hey, what can you say here? As long as the lights don't go out.
Yes, as long as the lights or phones don't go out in our case, Butch, we will be just fine. Well, the lights went out on the Detroit Lions on Sunday, Butch, as the Lions got a chance to open their 2022 season on Sunday. Maybe you could call a measuring stick game at home against Philadelphia, a team that handily beat them last season and were a playoff team in the NFC. The Lions would fall behind by 17 points in the second half. They did manage to make a game out of it, coming back, trimming the lead to 3 points late in the fourth quarter, but the defense couldn't get off the field one last time late, as the Philadelphia Eagles would convert a 4th-and-1 with the minute remaining and defeat the Detroit Lions by the score of 38-35. Butch, lots to talk about in this. We're going to carry this over into the next segment, but I want to give you the floor because you were there live and in living color at Ford Field to catch all the festivities. Your thoughts on the Lions opener against Philly?
The crowd was loud, humongous. Everyone was in a positive frame of mind. I mean, I got there around about 11 o'clock, 2 hours and some odd minutes before the game and whatnot, and everyone seemed to be in a great, great mood there.
Yeah.
It was okay. And the Lions came on out there and proved that we appreciate you and went down there and scored. DeAndre Swift was a wrecking machine. I'll get to him in a moment. But they did well. What we did see during that score of marching down the field in the first half, or the first quarter, I should say, it's drop balls.
Yep.
Drop balls by receivers and whatnot. And that continued all the way through the first half here. That was bad. Detroit scored. Defense come on the board. And it stunk from there.
Yeah.
It stunk to high heaven. Although the defense stopped them for a minute, they came back on the field and showed that they're worth it. I'm talking about the Eagles, that is. When you know a quarterback such as the skill set of Jalen Hurts is going to run, he has a track record of it, and no one from the Detroit Lions shadowed this young man, that is ridiculous. That's on the defense. The defensive line seemed to be very bottled up by an offensive line that was very geeked up as well, and they proved their worth there in outrunning the Lions 200-some-odd yards to the 285. Yes, I got 285 here.
Yep.
For the Detroit Lions as far as running. The concept was good, but again, the defense didn't show up. And the first half was just bombastically. And also on the offense, that per se there, they went conservative. I couldn't understand that. And that was the best time in town to go crazy on a team right now that's not expecting too much from you. And Detroit played right in Philadelphia's hand by going conservative that first half. And I give for the life of me, and the clock management was just totally ridiculous. Second half, and by the way, the Lions scored in each quarter of the game.
Yep.
There. Versus Philadelphia coming in with that 24 points, okay? And then put another 14 points on them in the third quarter. That seemed to seal it on up. They scored nothing in the fourth quarter while the Lions went up there and scored 14 points. Here's my thing. Jeff Goff, those interceptions, and they scored.
Big one.
All right. And again, a catchable catch, okay, by a receiver. Jeff didn't do it. And again, we saw that Hockenson was dropping. St. Brown was dropping. Just all was dropping. And the one thing I talked about throughout this preseason and whatnot is they do not have a receiver that they can throw a ball to and would catch it. Regardless of how many yards he picked, would catch the ball. And I talked about a great deal about Tom Kennedy and whatnot. That, again, the city seems to, at least the professional team, seem to not reward the people who really need the reward. Although he is on the practice squad and things keep going the way they're going, hopefully we'll see him soon. Offense, second half, great, okay? You just can do no more about that. Again, the defense, sometimes I feel like a nut and sometimes I don't. It all equaled up to 3 points. And those 3 points, again, came in succession of the Lions making mistakes and letting Philadelphia on the field, not being able to contain Jalen Hurts. And also, I don't want to leave them all out there, but the Philadelphia rushing yards was doggone pretty good. Mike Sanders did a pretty good job with 13 carries. Jalen Hurts had 17 carries for 90 yards. The list goes on and on and on. And again, and I haven't talked about A.J. Brown and his receiving prowess there. 10 receptions for 155 yards. They were on tap there. Although, let me say this, and I'll say this very plainly there. I was very proud of Jeff Okuda.
Yep.
Jeff Okuda played a magnificent game at cornerback there. Nobody was messing with him. And one of the reasons being, he was right on top of the receiver every single time. Very few times in that game. And I count on a handful, maybe three times, that he backed off maybe a receiver or whatnot there. Maybe by instructions, okay, per the defensive alignment on that there. But he played one heck of a game. Tracy Walker played a good game, too, until he went crazy, okay, and ballistic and got kicked out the game. You know, those are key people that you need to either encourage the team or get better. And you can't do nothing in the locker room there. The final insult of this whole dignity there was DeAndre Swift again. He rushed for 15 yards. 44 yards, 15 rushes for 144 yards. That's a 9.6 average. He also caught three passes. He did not miss a one, okay, of the three receptions he got there. Three passes thrown, three caught for 31 yards, and he produced. I mean, I can't see the Lions not feeding this guy maybe 20 or 21 carries. He was the real deal, and Pinnell Sewell also played a magnificent game in opening holes for him. He was on tap there. But when the crap hit the fan, the Lions again come up short. And that's just ridiculous, Scott. I don't know what you saw in the game, but this is what I saw, just up close and personal.
And, you know,
it's a shame.
Yeah, and again, watching it on TV, you don't get a full view as everything. I would agree 100% that DeAndre Swift was the best player offensively for the Detroit Lions. Just getting 15 carries, that kind of surprised me, the way he was running the ball. But really what stuck out to me, Butch, and you mentioned it, is, you know, Philly came in last year and just knocked the Lions all over the place. I think they won that game 44-7 or something like that. And they pretty much ran the same plays. The Lions had no answer for Jalen Hurts. You know he's going to run it, but is it a personnel problem? Is it a scheme problem for the Lions? Because they're going to run into more quarterbacks like this, because there's just more quarterbacks in the NFL like Jalen Hurts.
Coaching problem, okay? That he did not acknowledge the fact that you got to have somebody shadowing this guy. I mean, we're talking basic football, okay?
Right.
And you shadow the guy here. Now, I'm not saying 110% he's going to be successful in containing this guy, but I'm giving them a good 70 that they will, or make it very difficult for him to keep on doing what he's doing, and the other team knowing that this other guy's going to knock his head off at a single bound if he messes up the wrong way, regardless of how he slides or slips or keep on running. He's going to get his rock knocked off here. And it didn't happen for the Detroit Lions on this particular day.
Butch, we're going to take our top of the hour break. When you and I come back, we will continue talking about the Lions' home opener against Philadelphia and looking at the NFL as a whole, all coming up in 2 minutes on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-4000. 3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. With 9 locations to serve you, they're everywhere you need them to be. Account options such as checking, savings, and retirement accounts. Apply online for personal, home, and business loans. Enjoy conveniences like online banking, CSB Loan Pay Express, instant issue debit cards, mobile wallet, and remote deposit capture. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want in today's fast-paced world. Visit one of their 9 locations, see their helpful smiling faces, and get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. As we continue our Detroit Lions conversation from last hour, the Lions losing their home opener against Philadelphia by the score of 38-35. Butch covered a lot of what he saw. And, Butch, just a couple other things I wanted to mention from the things that I saw. You know, offensively, I think the Lions did pretty good. You know, they got their running game going. I thought the offensive line played very well. Run blocking was very good. They didn't allow tons of pressure, although the pressure on the interception by Jared Goff really caused the big turnover in the game. And really, if you look at it, that really was what cost the Lions. But the other thing, again, and we've talked about this last year, Butch, sometimes, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, time management by the Detroit Lions and head coach Dan Campbell. A couple things stood out to me. During the first half, the Lions were inside the 10-yard line when they ran a play before the two-minute warning, the clock ticking. They scored, but the Eagles got the ball with nearly 2 minutes left. They come back and score. And then the Lions would call a timeout after sacking Jalen Hurts on a first and 10 with 54 seconds left. Then the quarterback, of course, scrambled for 10 yards, hit Brown for a 54-yard completion, and the Eagles scored. You know, maybe those are little things. I know Dan Campbell, I believe he addressed that today, but just, you know, those are kind of simple coaching faux pas, if you will, that, you know, that just, I scratch my head when those things happen.
I don't know. I don't agree with a lot of it, what you're saying. I go along with it there. My point was basically simple. You know, when you have a momentum, and which they did when they came on the field,
yep.
When the bell rung, and the Lions went down there and scored. What do you do? You know, the Lions put the ball in the air, and why? You know, you have a runner right now. He got his hands on the ball and the second carry and ran 51 yards. You know, why not use that? You know, when you play football, and I've played some, and it's one thing for sure, the line, if you punish the defensive line, the best way to do that is by running.
Yep.
You know, you're punching, you're grabbing, you're pushing, you're hitting. You're doing all those things where basically when you're blocking for a pass, all you're doing is you're taking a man to a different direction there. And if you don't have the strength versus the advantages that defensive linemen or a linebacker has, you're dead in the water. You know, if pressure's going to be put on you. The Lions are not very exclusive when it comes down to wide receivers, per se.
No.
And one of the things I've always pointed out is they don't have a receiver that basically you can pinpoint and button who can run a route and catch the ball. You know, someone that a team has to look out for. And right now the Lions don't have that. You got a lot of young kids there. I'm quite sure they're energetic and whatnot. The nerves can't get to them there, where the experience you will hope will get them better prepared for a game, you know, in live action there. It hasn't happened for the Lions, and that's not them. That's coaching, okay? You don't come out there passive when you got them on the run. And they had the Eagles defense on the run from the bell lap, and they went and played conservative and played into their hand, and that's when the game, it changed, you know? And again, our defense not given the consideration that is due for Jalen Hurts, who we know can run. And again, basic things. You shadow the guy here. You might have to shadow him with two guys, one right on each side. Because you know when there's a certain amount of pressure is being put on him, he's gonna move out. And it's not gonna take him long to do it. And he did that in that game.
So Butch, the Lions will have lots to work on during practice this week. Their next game will be at home again this upcoming Sunday against the Yeah, and that was going to bring me to my next question, Butch. Washington comes in 1-0. They had to come back to beat Jacksonville at home yesterday. You know, you look at this Lions schedule, you know, it's going to get tougher. This game Sunday in front of the home crowd, it's kind of hard to label it a must win, but I think the Lions got to start getting W's if they're going to convince their fans that they are, in fact, starting to turn around this franchise.
Let me tell you something, and this is for everybody to hear. Charity begins at home first.
Yep.
You can take care of home. You can more or less get yourself together for what you got to do on the road there. And the Lions got to start proving to themselves that regardless of how difficult the situation is there, they got to take care of home. And the Lions had a game that they could have won. They should have won. Because if you take away the interception, the game is over and the Lions outscored Philadelphia. They outplay them. But again, that one mistake did it. And also the drop passes, when you have people on the run, you're not capitalizing on what you can do in order to put this team at rout there. And they had them in the first half. They had them in the beginning of the game. And they did not. They came out there conservative, and I could not understand that. And when I say conservative, you're not using the tools that got you down there in the first place, which is running the ball. They're going out there flipping these hipty-dipty passes that basically right now the cornerbacks of Philadelphia have. That's no competition.
Lions again in action this Sunday at home against Washington. You can hear that game locally over on our sister station, Oldies 93, starting with the pregame show at 11 a.m. Final thought on the Lions, Butch. I heard you mention on Butch on Sports last night that you picked up a Dan Campbell bobblehead doll. The question I have for you is, does that bobblehead doll bite kneecaps?
I don't know. I haven't even opened the damn box up yet. You see if he got a doggone dog peeing on his leg or something here, you know? I don't know, but I tell you one thing for sure. You can hike this thing off and ask off to the Lions. They make sure everybody who walked in that building had a bobblehead.
That's
there.
Good.
It wasn't like the first 10,000
right
to get a bobblehead there. And you know how aggravating that could be to me here. Mm-hmm. But they took care of business there, the public relations people there. And God bless them for that there. But if they want to keep people happy, they can give away the moon. The Lions got to win some football games there. That's just plain and simple.
Butch, let's look across the NFL and week one. Let's start Thursday night's game, the opening game at the defending champion LA Rams, and the Buffalo Bills put a whooping on the Rams, knocking them off at 31-10. Josh Allen did have a few interceptions and turnovers, but the Bills' strength appears not just to be with Mr. Allen, but defensively, adding Von Miller, giving the LA Rams all sorts of fits. Buffalo fans got to be pretty happy with what they saw in their opener.
Come on, it's just one game, okay?
True.
You know, things bounce back like titanium here, man. You know, they look good, though. You can't deny that. It's embarrassing when Los Angeles had all that pomp and circumstance in the beginning of the the pregame, okay, and the championship banner going up there, and you got all kind of people coming in and seeing this and cheering, and then you look like a skunk during the game there. But Los Angeles got their rear end kicked in to a no, not one. Matthew Stafford hitting the ground 7 times.
Yeah.
Well, that was quality. Shoot, I bet some people from Detroit Lions are laughing their rear end off here. I told you so.
Yep, exactly. You know. Couple overtime games in the early games yesterday. Butch, Pittsburgh, they knock off Cincinnati 23-20. Interesting game. Cincinnati had a chance to win it at the end, had a blocked extra point, and then Cincinnati would go down the field, miss a field goal. Pittsburgh would go down the field, hit the upright. Finally, Pittsburgh ends up winning it late 23-20. And we have a tie, Butch, in an opening game. Indianapolis, who haven't won a season opener in 9 years, they go down to Houston and they were down 20-3. Come back with a 20-20 tie. I guess if you're Indianapolis, you have to like the tie, but we almost had two ties yesterday with that Pittsburgh game.
Almost. And again, competition means a lot. Houston, I was very surprised that they had a sizable lead for some time in that game there, and Indy came on back with the quickness and whatnot, and overtime commenced, and no one scored. So I tip my hats off to both the doggone teams, for Indianapolis coming back and for Houston not worrying about a guy named Watson,
right.
Okay? And they continue to do their business, because Houston has lost a lot of great players, okay, to other teams and whatnot there. And they're more or less rebuilding. They're rebuilding, and really and truly, I tip my hat off to them, because they were very competitive from beginning to end in the game.
Yeah, Houston and David Mills looked good at quarterback. He had a big game yesterday. This one, a bit of a surprise to me, Butch. Chicago, they win at rain-soaked Soldier Field 19-10. Justin Fields, he has 5 completions and wins the game. 2 touchdown passes, and oh boy, Trey Lance didn't quite like the bad weather as much as maybe Jimmy Garoppolo might have on the bench. Bears with a big opening week win, Butch.
Well, San Francisco going to go through pain and agony with Lance there, okay? But Chicago, again, they're not a team that you just spit on and say, well, we can roll over them there. Chicago's a very good team in all facets there, especially on defense there. And they're a dirty team. I just put it that way. A dirty team. Most dirty teams are very competitive there. And Chicago did their time and took care of business when it had to be taken care of there. A great victory for Chicago right now. They're sitting in first place.
They are. A few other games early, Butch, and New Orleans, they come back and knock off Atlanta 27-26. Michael Thomas, who we haven't seen in a long time, he gets 2 second-half touchdowns, spurring the comeback victory. The Lions' next opponent, Washington, they knock off Jacksonville 28-22. First win for their new quarterback, Carson Wentz. And Cleveland, they win despite Baker Mayfield being on the other side of the ball. Cleveland wins 26-24 at Carolina. And a couple other games, Butch. Baltimore, they had no trouble with the New York Jets, 24-9. And Miami over a very struggling New England squad by the score of 20-7. Any of those games strike your interest, or any of the scores pique your interest?
Green Bay and Minnesota.
We're getting to that.
Yeah, well, I got to it right now here. Green Bay and Minnesota. That was the game that I was looking at late afternoon there. And the way Green Bay was talking, that they had no worries and whatnot, but
right.
Yes, they do have some worries with their receivers and whatnot. They're not on the same page as the veteran quarterback they have, which is Aaron Rodgers, giving them Minnesota, they dominated that game on offense as well as defense. They didn't have to do much, but again, what they did is order to just knock Green Bay completely off the game offensively and defensively. So That was a great win for Minnesota in a loud place again, which, by the way, Minnesota took advantage of.
They did. Minnesota knocks off Green Bay 23-7. Justin Jefferson, big game for the Vikings, 184 yards and two touchdowns. The other late games, Butch, the LA Chargers defeat Las Vegas 24-19. And here's a surprise, Butch, to me at least. New York Giants, they go for two. Saquon Barkley, he has a big game, 194 total yards. Giants knock off Tennessee 21-20, giving their first-year head coach his first victory. I like that going for two at the end, especially when it works.
When it works. And it worked for the Giants in this case here. You know, it was a lot of field goal kicking and whatnot.
Yep.
There. But again, when they scored, they knew they wanted to win the game. And being the visiting team, which the Giants were, maybe they felt they had nothing to lose. I say different here,
yeah.
But you know, it wins a win when you can get it. And the Giants took care of business in Tennessee there.
Two other games, Butch. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdowns. They roll over Arizona 44-21. And the game last night, Tampa Bay, they defeat Dallas 19-3. Tom Brady, the oldest starting quarterback at age 45, didn't have to do a lot as Dak Prescott gets hurt in that game. It looks like he's out 6 to 8 weeks as he's apparently having surgery today as they're going to go to Cooper Rush. Trouble in cowboy land, Butch, and I got to be honest, that doesn't make me very sad.
Jimmy Jalapable, or Jalapi, or whatever you want to call him. He might be getting the phone call pretty soon, and arrangements may be made where Dallas can get someone competitive there to do the job to go into the playoffs. Jerry is not getting any younger. He's 79 years old here, man. And I think Jerry wants to see some success there. And he feels that he's personally put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this particular team for the quarterback to go down and everything else go with it. I don't think Jerry's going to sit there too long and not try to make a deal where he can get someone to get on in there. And hopefully the new quarterback today for Dallas have, who's going to be starting this upcoming week, can do well. You know, things can happen there when you get an opportunity. But again, Jerry's not going to sit down too long.
And especially with the entire division winning in the NFC East, other than the Cowboys, they're already up against it, Butch.
Yep, yes, they are.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the game. When Butch and I come back, we will move on to college football and talk more on our sports roundtable, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
Reed Metals in Tafter is your honest metal recycling business. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals buys heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims and motors, copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, sheet iron, and many more types of metals. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for scrap vehicles, and they also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit ReedMetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail.
Crime Stoppers is brought to you by KC Security Services, voted Sault Ste. Marie's number one security company 4 years in a row. give us a call or visit our website at kcsecurity.ca and find out how we can help you stay secure.
Crime Stoppers and the Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario Provincial Police are requesting your assistance in identifying suspects involved in an incident of break, enter, and theft. I'm Constable Carl Halverson of Crime Stoppers. In the early morning hours on July 13, 2022, unknown suspects broke into the main store and detached warehouse of the Co-op Algoma AG Center at 3475 Highway 17B in Echo Bay. Numerous fuel pump units were stolen from the premise. Images of a suspect were captured on store video camera footage. If you can identify the suspects and your tip leads to an arrest, you may be eligible for a cash reward. Call Crime Stoppers at 705-942-7867 or 1-800-222-8477. You can also click the Submit a Tip button found on our website or download the P3 app.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:19 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, let's move to college football, and to say that Michigan and Michigan State were overwhelming favorites this weekend would be an understatement. Both teams win easily against subpar opponents. No offense to Hawaii and Akron. Michigan, they rolled to a 56-10 win over the 0-3 Rainbow Warriors. Sophomore J.J. McCarthy, 11 for 12, 229 yards and three touchdowns. And head coach Jim Harbaugh says he will be their starter this Saturday at noon against another real tough football opponent, UConn. Michigan State, they improved to 2-0 as they shut out Akron by the score of 52-0, the largest shutout victory for the Spartans since a 54-0 win against Indiana in 1957. Butch, both these were very long games. The Michigan game didn't start till almost 9 o'clock, and well, I'm glad that Hawaii and Akron got a big paycheck going to the Big House and Spartan Stadium, because competitive football was not played in the state of Michigan with those two squads.
No, they collected a check and went home.
Yep.
I'm quite sure them young men, maybe 60 or 70 of them, made the trip very well, coming there and back, and they supplied the buses for them. They didn't get on a plane, that's for sure. The rest of that money in their bank, in their athletic department. But no, really, I'm hoping that Michigan State's rushing game, that they show very much so in this particular game against Akron,
but
take them through the Big Ten. If they could do that and be consistent on that, I'm talking about Michigan State, they're going to shock a lot of people, because a lot of many prognosticators there feel that Michigan State won't do the same thing they did last year. And if they can run, I believe so. And their defense halfway up the par, when you're blowing out people and not allowing people to score on you, that's something to look at. And hopefully Michigan State can build on that. As far as Michigan and Hawaii is concerned, I thought Hawaii would give Michigan a little bit more for what they chewed for there. But again, a game that lasts almost 5 hours and whatnot there, some change. I rolled over in bed, taking a nap, fell asleep on the game, and woke up, and they still were going on there after 1 o'clock. What a tribute to the stations, the Big Ten Network and whatnot there, to keep that going there. But we'll see how Michigan going to drive out. Michigan, I think, right now is betting on the offense to be the cloak and dagger for them in the Big Ten to get where they need to go there. And hopefully they're right there. But, again, the defense has had nothing really too much to go on when it comes down to finding out how competitive they can be. So their hands are full in their next games and whatnot there in maybe proving they got a balanced effort. And though they have pitched a connection about what quarterback will go out there, they've now picked one. Let's see what happens. But changes will be made if one is not more successful than the other one. And I believe that in the Michigan dealings right now. Harbaugh is not throwing his hand to this one particular quarterback, per se, that's going to get the job done for them to be successful this season.
Yeah, I think Michigan actually may have brought members of the band out in that fourth quarter. They pretty much emptied the roster. The good news for me, Butch, is Hawaii covered that 52-point spread, so I was very happy about that. And you mentioned the Michigan State rushing, you know, trying to replace Kenneth Walker the third is tough, but they've had two transfer running backs, Jalen Berger and Jarek Broussard. Both of them had over 100 yards. Again, that's against Akron. Going to be a tougher road to hold for the Michigan State Spartans this weekend, Butch. They go out west to take on Washington, and we've seen over the years Big Ten teams that go play those early West Coast games sometimes don't go well for the Big Ten teams.
No, it won't go well. It won't go well. And then while they're up in the Seattle and whatnot there, so if they don't bring their horse a-blazing there, Michigan State's going to come home with their tail between their legs and whatnot. That's just plain simple. But again, what I saw in that game as far as running, if they can run the ball like they did in this particular, in this upcoming Washington game, like they did in with Akron.
Yep.
They can make the game very competitive there. It, you know, you keep an offense off the field. That's number one there. And you're making the defense just keep their tongues hanging out their damn mouth there. Again, I say it again. When you want to wear a team down, run the ball on them. You will get more success doing it that way than you do passing the ball.
Butch, two big upsets this weekend and one almost big upset. My Alabama Crimson Tide hangs on for a 21-20 win over Texas. But how about these upsets? Marshall goes in to formerly number 8th ranked Notre Dame, and they win 26-21. And Appalachian State winning over a top 10 team at Texas A&M, 17-14. Butch, I'm a big fan of the little guys, the Marshalls, the Appalachian States of the world, and they kind of shocked the college football world this weekend.
What about Nebraska?
We were going to talk about that next. Yeah, Scott Frost fired after losing to Georgia Southern, I believe, Butch. All's not happy, and they play Oklahoma next week. Scott Frost gone. You could kind of see that coming, couldn't you?
Oh, very much so, then. I guess Nebraska wants an excuse in case they lose against Oklahoma there. So that's a big game, and that's a national televised game as well.
Yes, it is.
It don't look good for Nebraska right now. They did the best they could and hurry up and find this guy. They got an excuse now.
They sure do. Butch, let's move on to Major League Baseball. The Detroit Tigers did win 2 of 3 games against Kansas City on the road over the weekend. However, they were shut out for the 20th time this season on Sunday as they fell by the score of 4-0. This the Tigers' 20th shutout, most in the majors, 5 more than the next closest teams. And the Tigers are in danger of getting the most shutouts in their history. The 1905 Tigers were shut out 21 times. The 1904 Tigers were shut out 26 times. They joined the 1975 Tigers, who were shut out 20 times. Butch, there's 4 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season, and as a Detroit Tiger fan, it couldn't go any faster than the fastest possible, because just not been a good year for the Tigers.
Oh, and not going to be too good of a year before it's all over, too. But again, when the chips fall the way they may there, the Detroit Tigers miscalculated. Number one, you spend all this time and you're drafting players and you don't play them. You got to get them on the field some kind of way. They would have been better off, instead of making these trades and cash deals and whatnot, is to allow those young kids to come into play and get their time in there and get better. And we're seeing it now, okay? We're
right.
Seeing it with some good players, Kepler. We're seeing it with Carpenter. We're seeing it with Torkelson. We're seeing it with Green. You know, Reyes is doing very well. You're being competitive. Now, the consistency there is not going to come with the Detroit Tigers until they put a what you call a set lineup out there. And that's where I think A.J. Hinch, I don't think it's take it right bright when you continue to switch and pull people around and whatnot. You know, the Willie Castros and Harold Castros who've been doing it for you all year long, you can't be sitting up there messing them over there and then flopping them from one position to another. A set lineup, a set position where they can hone their skill set in there, whatever it may be. It makes things very easy for the player there. And right now, I'm afraid to say it, but we may see some huge changes after the season's over when it comes time to the Tigers management staff there.
Tigers 54-86, last place in the AL Central. They are taking on Houston this week, down 2-0 in the top of the third inning right now before facing the Chicago White Sox for three games over the weekend. And before we go to break, Butch, veteran pitcher Edwin Jackson on his 39th birthday announced his retirement. He played for 14 different teams over parts of 17 seasons in the big leagues, including two stints with the Detroit Tigers, which were separated by a decade. Certainly a journeyman pitcher, Butch, but one you got to know while he played in Detroit.
Very nice individual there. Very appreciative of anything that he played for and whatnot there, because, you know, he's been very simply could have gave up on this particular there and went some way, but he stuck it out. And he gave the best he can give to about every 14 teams that he played for there. He wasn't all that big talented pitcher, but he had stamina where he can take a team that needed a starting pitcher, maybe not up to par, maybe letting go maybe three or four runs, but, you know, allow a team to stay in the game until he got just beat up and tired and whatnot there. But again, I wish him well. I wish him very much so well. He was a Tiger that basically, you know, and I would have thought maybe in 06, if we had him, that might put us over the top in some experience, because that's something that we didn't have at that point in time.
Butch, we're going to take a break. You and I come back. We'll look around at Major League Baseball as the pennant races and wild card races are heating up, and we'll talk more about all the sports going on around the area, country, and world. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to Sutra. TribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric. 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent auto owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux. You can catch podcasts of The Game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
7:32 on The Game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, let's look around at Major League Baseball. And last night, we thought that we had a team in the postseason. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who entered Monday with a commanding 20-game lead in the National League West, they thought they had clinched their 10th consecutive postseason berth Sunday when they knocked off San Diego 11-2. Manager Dave Roberts, he led a pregame toast with sparkling wine. The players and staff were given caps with the postseason logo. However, Major League Baseball on Monday said they made a mistake. They failed to account for a potential scenario in which the Padres overtake the Dodgers for the NL West title and LA finishes in a three-way tie with Milwaukee and St. Louis. Now, that's not going to happen, but I kind of have to chuckle that Major League Baseball has a little egg on their face. Bunch of the Dodgers are going to get in, but I guess they're going to have another celebration either tonight or at another time.
What about the Dodgers? I mean, they didn't see that coming. Did they not know that they were not qualified yet to be champions or of that particular automatic playoff berth, I should say there? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought.
I can roll some, a lot of eggs on Major League Baseball. I mean, the eggs can't stop rolling on them with rule changes and all the other junk they've been doing here lately here to ruin the game. But I don't know. I kind of laugh at Los Angeles more than Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You run out there and get your bottle of bubbly and all the other stuff there and find out the next day or maybe in the middle of the night, you got nothing.
Got nothing. They'll get it, but they didn't get it last night.
Laughing at you. You know, local media gets a hold to it. Making up scenarios, just like you just said. Well, maybe another day.
Right, exactly. Well, looking at Major League Baseball, Butch, AL East, Yankees still leading 5.5 over Tampa, 6 games over the Toronto Blue Jays, a good race in the AL Central. Right now, Cleveland on top, 2.5 games over the White Sox, 4.5 games over Minnesota. Houston, they have a big lead in the AL West, 11 games over Seattle. And the wild card, looks like that race is taking shape. Tampa, Seattle, and Toronto, the three wild card teams right now, Baltimore, 5.5 games back. Good race in the NL East. The Mets continue to lead by 1.5 over Atlanta, 10.5 over Philadelphia. St. Louis with an 8-game lead over Milwaukee. And as I mentioned, the Dodgers won game away, I think, from the postseason as they have a 20-game lead over San Diego. Wild card in the National League. You have Atlanta, Philadelphia, and San Diego in, with Milwaukee, the other team with a chance, with 2 games behind San Diego currently. Butch, it seems like it's the usual cast of characters as we're 4 weeks away from postseason baseball and more wild card teams.
Hurry up and get here.
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth. But we got to see some good battles, especially in the American League East Division there, with the Yankees not looking all fit as a fiddle here lately here. They've been losing a heck of a lot of games, but lost a lot of ground. Tampa Bay, 5.5 games back here, and I don't think they're finished dealing with each other. I don't think they're. But Toronto, the same scenario, and also Baltimore, who right now, they're feeling their oats. You know, right now, Baltimore has one of the lowest payrolls in town and got rid of all their major players. And they just don't feel, those young kids don't feel, I got nothing to lose, okay? And they're going out there and playing some very, very heady baseball there. And I like it. Cleveland, on the other hand, and the White Sox, I still say that's not over, including Minnesota, who's 1 game under 500 with a 69-70 record. You got to win the Central in order to get in the playoffs. None of those other teams that I just mentioned is not going to get in no wild card position there. They're nowhere near it.
How about Albert Pujols, Butch? He hit his 697th home run on Sunday, moving past Alex Rodriguez into fourth place on the all-time career list, and it was a rally home run as the Cardinals would win that game. Pujols, who is in his 22nd and final season, he's hit 18 home runs this season. We'll see if he can get to 400, but boy, this guy and his career, pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, well, I don't think he give a doggone about it. Albert wants to get in the playoffs. He thinks his team is somewhat a good enough team to put up a good showing. Definitely could give the Dodgers I don't think the Dodgers would want to play St. Louis if I was in their position there, because St. Louis got so much going on. And again, young players and a couple of two or three good veterans, or maybe four, you know, going in there and have some influence over those younger players, including some of the coaches, Willie McGee and all those particulars there, who know what winning is. And they're doing a job in St. Louis there. I like their team a lot. The accolades that Pujols be getting and whatnot, like I said, I don't think he cares. Really, he knows he's going to the Hall of Fame. He knows he's one of the best St. Louis Cardinals of all time. He knows all of that. I think basically what would shadow him versus other teams is he wants to win.
Yeah.
And he has been very successful in winning.
Butch, Major League Baseball implemented a couple new rule changes for next year. Pretty interesting rule changes, which have been going on in the minor leagues for a few years. Next year, pitchers will now have 15 seconds to throw a pitch with the bases empty and 20 seconds with the runner on base. Hitters will need to be in the batter's box with 8 seconds on the pitch clock as well. A new rule regarding the shift. At the time a pitch is thrown, there will need to be 4 infielders on the dirt and 2 on each side of second base. Players will be able to move as soon as the ball leaves the pitcher's hand. What are your thoughts on those two rule changes, Butch?
I'm getting a good laugh out of it because Major League Baseball, again, don't have nothing else to do but
right.
Screw up the game more than it has been screwed up here lately here. The base situation, I don't understand. And here's a scenario I'll put up in your face.
Okay.
They're going to expand the game, you know, from 14 inches to 18 inches.
Right.
Like 4 inches all the way around.
Yep.
You see those little mittens on those particular hands of those players when they get to first base to slide with? Well, that's an extra 2.5 inches.
Yeah.
So what is Major League Baseball trying to say? They're not stopping injury there, per se. It's going to say, you know, they're saying, well, we want to see more stolen bases, more action. And I don't think that's the problem there. You know, you want to blame something on somebody, you know, your owners and scouts and whatnot, they ain't going after those particular kind of players who can run and jump and play great defense. They're going after the big bad boogie bears and the boppers who can knock the balls over the fence, regardless of how their parks look, okay? And the majority of the parks in Major League Baseball now are not what you call very big, hittable ballparks.
No.
Okay? They're all status to be the big, basically triples and doubles and running around. Those are how the particular fields are contours for. And I just think the rules, they don't need to be changed. Do pitchers take too much time on the mound? Yes. Do batters come up there and very methodic and going up there to the plate? Yes. You know what? Give them 5 seconds. Get your behind back in the doggone thing. Or allow the pitcher to pitch the ball. If it's a strike, then screw you, man. You get one timeout, okay? You got to scratch your behind or something of that nature. After that, you stay in the batter's box and hit the ball. You know, and if the pitchers are going to be methodic or whatever it may be and how they do it there, you know, give them 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Not 12 seconds. Come on, man.
Yeah, kind of ridiculous to me, Butch. Before we go to our final break, Butch, the Detroit Red Wings will take part in the Prospects Tournament, which will start September 15th and 19th with a 5-team field, also featuring Columbus, Dallas, St. Louis, and Toronto. Their camp will start in Traverse City on the morning of September 22nd through September 26th, as they will break the day before exhibition season begins. Butch, Detroit Red Wings season almost here. Your thoughts?
Nothing.
Not much to say.
Not a thing here. I haven't seen nothing. They got nothing. I'm not going for the hype. You know, the Red Wings got to win this year, okay? This is plain and simple. They got to go to the playoffs. You know, everybody stop chucking around and hyping things on up and helping the gamblers and people lose more money and whatnot here. You know, let's wait till the 22nd. And when the camp, there are 4 games you're going to play in exhibition. And let's have that at that point in time there. I think we'll get to see a lot more when the teams come back home to Detroit to practice in Little Caesars Arena.
Butch, we're going to take our final break of the night. When you and I come back, we'll talk about as much as we can fit in. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. With 9 locations to serve you, they're everywhere you need them to be. Account options such as checking, savings, and retirement accounts. Apply online for personal, home, and business loans. Enjoy conveniences like online banking, CSB Loan Pay Express, instant issue debit cards, mobile wallet, and remote deposit capture. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want in today's fast-paced world. Visit one of their 9 locations, see their helpful smiling faces, and get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
Welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. If you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it a little bit after we go off the air on the website, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Butch, moving on to the world of basketball, not much new in the Pistons land, as you would expect. And in the WNBA, we have our final set for Sunday, best of five. WNBA Finals as the Las Vegas Aces will take on the Connecticut Sun. That's what I got for basketball, sir. What say you?
I'm enjoying every bit of this doggone championship match between the Sun and the Aces there.
Yeah, yeah.
This is some good basketball. And the crowds are very supportive. Very good frontline crowd of 10,000 and some change there at Michelob Ultra Arena. Now, if it gets real serious, you know T-Mobile is going to make yourself available, okay? So that's 22,000 right there, and they will sell that out. So the enthusiasm toward women's basketball is great, okay? I think networks don't give them the play that they should get. Although you do have the NBA network, you have stations like ESPN and CBS constantly televising these particular games along with ABC. You don't hear it locally, but nationally you do. But I like this. And they're being very competitive all the way through. The game they played Sunday was very good. I saw that. Why was coming out of Ford Field, and it was a very competitive game.
Yeah, you look at Connecticut over Chicago. They had an 18-0 run in that game on Thursday to win that semifinal series. I think a lot of people thought Chicago was going to roll over the Connecticut Sun, but I agree with you, Butch. WNBA, I've gotten more into over the years. You know, it's something that you don't see maybe as much as you should, but you know, much like women's college basketball, these girls are giving it their all, and I think this is going to be one of the better finals we've seen in many years.
I think it hurts also when you don't have a team in the city of Detroit,
right,
or in Michigan, okay, participating in this there. And hopefully fans kind of, you know, kind of talk up to the NBA and also the officials in the state and see if they can't get a team back. We had a team called the Shocks that was very successful here, okay? And a lot of young ladies who are playing basketball at that point in time got the juice, and the state of Michigan got a big shot in the arm by that particular team doing as good as they were. A lot of young ladies play basketball because of the Detroit Shocks and whatnot there, and they played. Not only I got to enjoy the championship game at the Palace where they thought only 10,000 would come. They ended up taking sheets and pillowcases off the rafters and whatnot. 22,000 people showed up, and that was during the girls' playoffs and whatnot here, you know, in the state. And a lot of teams were getting suspended, their players, because they didn't go to the game. They were getting in their cars, and their parents were bringing them to that championship game that I had the pleasure of being there for that there. They also played at Joe Louis Arena when they did not have the Palace available for one of those championship games there. And again, they pulled all the rags and whatnot and the pillowcases and all the other stuff off the top decks, and people crowded into that place. 19,000 people.
Yeah.
Came to see that game. And then they ended up having the game, a championship game at Eastern Michigan University, when both those venues were, again, playoff bound, Pistons, not the Pistons per se. I think they had something else going on. A concert was going on at the Palace. The Red Wings was going on strong at that point in time, late in the season, you know, during their times there. And still, winning. And that gave a great shot in the arm for women's basketball and girls' basketball in the state of Michigan and around the country there. So, hopefully people get smart and stop being cheap and stupid, okay, and bring back a women's basketball team, a professional basketball team, to the city of Detroit. It's well-deserving, and it can be supportive if you have the means to do certain things. Maybe have an arrangement with Wayne State University or the University of Detroit that has a haven that you can get at least 11,000 people or more in the venue there when needed to be and still be in the city of Detroit.
Butch, the U.S. Tennis Open finals were played this weekend. 19-year-old Carlos Alcaraz, as he knocks off another youngster, Casper Ruud, in four sets, becoming one of the youngest U.S. Open champions in history. And certainly, you know, the big names got knocked out early. Nadal, who was knocked out by Mr. Tiafoe, the American, who made it all the way to the semifinals. For me, Butch, as a big tennis fan, there was some great tennis that was played at the U.S. Open. And it's good to see some of these youngsters starting to come up. You know, the Federers, Nadals, Djokovic, who wasn't there because he's not vaccinated, you know, not winning. To me, seeing a guy like Alcaraz and Tiafoe and Ruud just was a lot of fun as a tennis fan, and certainly some really good tennis was played over the past couple weeks.
Well, the game is turning over now, put it the way, when you get Serena Williams and Venus Williams and Osaka, who's not playing a lot of tennis lately here, you know. And for whatever reason she may have, you're seeing newer and newer players coming in line. And to be honest with you, I didn't know too much about them until basically you do the research and spend some time and find out who's who and what's what.
Yeah.
And I never heard of T4 or T-Leaf or whatever the last name is here, you know, but I do know who he is right now, and I would love to see him in more tennis that is being played out late. And again, tennis is not always like it once was in the United States, where major networks would televise those games and those matches on TV and whatnot. Tennis is not putting out the money where basically ABC, NBC, or CBS are showing top matches in other venues and whatnot. They usually show the Cincinnati match, which is one of the bigger ones in the United States.
Yeah, big one.
And it was not showed on any major network there. It was shown on the tennis channel, and also I do believe ESPN2 had it, you know, so I don't know. I kind of scratch my head with tennis right now, although the game is growing. I'd like to see it grow a lot better in the United States, per se, there. And I don't see it right now. I see it in high schools there, per se. But where do those kids go from there after those high school days?
I was watching a sport that's grown a lot, Butch, over the weekend, pickleball. You ever tuned into that? That's a fast-growing sport.
Pickleball, this show, how many years now?
Many.
3 years,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And now it's just gotten it's getting your blessing, Scott. You know, but yes, pickleball has been out for quite some time. And again, I mentioned it occasionally on this show, again, 3 or 4 doggone times there. But I tell you, it is a popular game. And the one thing I've been here lately where people are getting their arms wrenched and whatnot because they're not in shape and playing pickleball or something like that there, which is a bunch of crap. But it's something to keep people busy. There's a lot of clubs out here in the high schools and whatnot, pickleball matches and whatnot. It's getting big in the United States. And I kind of wait and see what's going to happen with networks and whatnot as far as dealing with that.
Butch, before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, what is going on in the WWE and AEW that's caught your interest over the past couple weeks?
WWE is putting on more matches instead of doing a lot more lifting. They have their moments where they try to push a match or something for their upcoming pay-per-view or whatever it may be. Excuse me. Whatever it may be. But here lately, they've been playing more matches. Of course, the AEW has been doing their thing and continuing to put the matches on the air. No comparison, really. I think WWE is getting a lot better. Excuse me, and getting matches on the air.
We'll get back to Butch Davis in a minute. I've been watching quite a bit of AEW over the past couple weeks. I know they have a big event coming up, Butch, here in, I believe, next week, where the U.S. Open was played. And it just that brand seems to be striking more of a chord, I think, for the traditional wrestling fan. Butch, I was just mentioning about AEW having their big event at where the U.S. Open was played. It's been a lot of fun watching that organization.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I have to clear my throat here. There's popcorn stuck in the head. Don't eat popcorn while you're doing a show.
No.
Those kernels don't take no, they don't take back nothing here. but I tell you, one thing about it, AEW, they're continually to climb and climb and climb. And again, WWE's got to do a lot of catching up there. If you're noticing, they got a lot more. Excuse me. NXT people. Excuse me. Participating in a lot of the matches now on Raw as well as SmackDown.
Butch, let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. I'll let you clear your throat a little bit more. A thumbs up to week one of the NFL. Certainly always one of the big events on my calendar, and it lived up to the hype as far as I'm concerned. Several good games yesterday, several dramatic games. That Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game was entertaining, to say the least. Lions game, well, I wouldn't say entertaining, but certainly worth the watch. And thumbs up to Barcelona's La Liga match against Cadiz on on Saturday, and their goaltender, Jeremy's Ledesma, a fan, was having a cardiac arrest with less than 10 minutes left in the match as Cadiz goalkeeper, Jeremy's Ledesma. He's been praised on social media after he ran onto across the pitch with a medical kit and threw it into the stands. This is a very nice gesture by that goalkeeper. The match would resume after nearly an hour, and would be Barcelona winning by the score of 4-0. But thumbs up to Mr. Ledesma, making quick work and trying to help a fan in need during a match, I might add. Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Okay. Thumbs up goes to the Lions halftime show, which they had North Carolina A&T.
Oh.
Big band, and it was a huge band. I say over 400 kids participating in that band. And they were swinging it during halftime. I missed that, okay? But they brought the best band in, one of the best bands in the country, and to serenade the crowd. And the crowd was, boy, they was appreciated there, especially the single guys there who were looking at those flag girls and stuff there. I see a lot of phones out there and whatnot there. It was great. Thumbs down on Detroit Lions in the massaging first half on offense as well as defense there. They got to clean things on up. They got to be a lot more conscious of who they're playing, a lot better scouting, and a lot more guts when it comes down to when you're getting a player in your grasp. Stop being conservative. Go on out there and do your very best you can and put the best players on the field.
Butch, as always, thanks for joining us tonight on The Game. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game, sir.
And I will not be eating popcorn during the break.
Sounds good. Butch, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
You take care.
All right, you as well, sir. And want to thank Butch Davis, along with our special guest, Matt Johnson, one of the assistant coaches for the Suhai Blue Devil football team and head coach of the Sueagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, Doug LaPrade, for joining us tonight. Once again, if you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it here in a few minutes on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it for this Monday night edition of The Game. We will talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game here on News Talk 1400.
Thanks for listening to The Game on News Talk 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.